while we were at the beach, I was there. There were 3 weeks where we did the Supernatural Summer Nights. I was there for week one, where I helped hosted the meeting with Joan Fitzgerald. The following 2 nights was Jane Hammond and Nathan Morris. And I was gone for those 2. But our lovely Pam Pulsforth, our friend and secretary at Kings Park Durham, she was taping some of Jane Hammond, some of her message on the second Wednesday night. And she sent me a file while I was at the beach. And you couldn't hear it that well. And there wasn't a whole lot of length to it. But there was a piece in that teaching that I could hear that was absolutely profound to me. And Jane Hammond, who's based out of Florida, she travels a lot through churches and around the nation. And she says, on occasion, I am finding myself, as I travel the globe, bumping into hopelessness. I bump into it in churches. I bump into it just in regards to our nation. And I'm bumping up into that. And I know that that's not of God, but it began to cause her to preach and pray in a particular way. And she began to unpack and recount a story of Pastor Dutch Sheets. And incidentally, when we held up that flag, An Appeal to Heaven, he has an incredible book on that. As we began to talk about General George Washington commissioning that flag, October of 1775, to cry out to God so that we would be spared from Great Britain and the Revolutionary War. Well, his brother also was a minister, and she was recounting the story. She had a relationship with the brother, and she recounted the story of how in his church he had a few physicians. One of them was a heart surgeon, and the pastor asked the heart surgeon, he said, is there any way or any context which you would actually allow me to shadow you? I know this is a little bit over the top, but I'm fascinated by what you do, your skill package. Is there any context that I could actually be there and watch and observe? And he said, yeah, we'll figure out something for you so that you can be a part of that. So sure enough, they got him in his scrubs, washed him down, put his mask, his cap, and they told him where to stand. And in one of the situations where he had a lady that was undergoing heart surgery, for whatever reason, her heart was not responding. She was totally unresponsive. She was flatlining, and it just, obviously, it wasn't good. And they were thinking, if she doesn't respond here, like, real soon, we're going to have to look at the clock and declare the time of her death. And the pastor said he watched the surgeon. He said it was the most amazing thing. He walked over to this lady who no responsiveness whatsoever in her heart, and he watched as the surgeon bent over and whispered in her ear. The lady's name was Mary. And he said, Mary, I need for you to tell your heart to beat again. And it was just a couple of seconds later, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doop, doo-doop. And Jane made the point that as I travel throughout America and as I run into despondency or as I run into hopelessness, I exhort you, tell your heart to beat again. Tell your heart to beat again. There's a context where we listen to our heart, and that's good and well, but there are other settings based on the yardstick of Scripture where we must tell our heart what to think, what to believe, how to posture yourself, because we cannot just be given to anything that just comes our way. Circumstances come. Life comes. Things certainly come our way. But here you have this lady, and I thought, you know, this is absolutely amazing. I mean, this woman is out. I mean, she's out, under anesthesia. And you've always heard that even when people are in a comatose state, their spirit is very much alive. And you don't want to go into that context with negativity, but you want to speak life. Their spirit is alive. They can pick up. Just like babies, little children, you know, we don't wait until they get grown to minister. We minister at a very young age. They don't have a little spirit. They have a full-grown human spirit. If they get born again, they don't get a little Jesus that comes to live on the inside of them. They have Jesus the Nazarene, the anointed one that comes to live in the human spirit. And so many times I think we downplay the reality of how God has created us. We are a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, our emotions, our will, and we live in a body. But that spirit is alive, and it was created by God to remain alive forever. It's just a matter of where we will spend an eternity. I choose to spend an eternity with the Lord forever and ever in heaven. Our body will break down. Our body will decay. But that spirit, when God breathed life, it's going to live forever. But it's intuitive, and it can pick up. And I thought, oh, how brilliant to give her a command in this way. But again, I think likewise, there are times and there are settings as a people, as a nation, as churches, as individuals, well, where we tell our heart to beat again. Profound. We have that kind of power, that kind of control, that kind of influence. We have more power than you would think to control and determine outcome. Again, this lady was out. She was in a comatose state, as it were, but she still had the power to respond and to speak to her heart. I remember years ago, how many of y'all have ever heard of Dr. Derek Prince, an amazing minister from Great Britain, Dr. Derek Prince, and incredible Bible teacher. But I remember in 1985, attending one of his meetings. He was actually in Durham, and was praying for various people with different ailments, different sickness, different afflictions, oppression. But there was this one lady that was there, that was barely there, that was terminal and was on her, basically on her deathbed. And as she came up for prayer, she was having to be brought. And he was going to pray for her. And there is a time for prayer, and then there are times where you just speak. And it's not necessarily a prayer. There are settings where we just need to make a decree or a declaration. You say, well, is that prayer? Well, don't be confused by the semantics. There are times where we just need to declare. And so as she came up and he learned of her situation, he said, I want you to say, I will live and not die. And she was so frail, she could barely say it. She said, I will live and not die. And he said, say it again. She said, I will live. And he began to continue on that exercise for a few minutes, to where all of a sudden we could see a manifestation of something break, where that spirit of affliction was coming off of her, and she shifted, light hit her eye, and she said, I will live and not die. I will live and not die. And all of a sudden, she spoke herself by the power of her decree right into a place of healing. That's an amazing thing, but she had the power to declare. And again, that's why we watch the gate of our mouth, because words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so I think there's some great truths here for us to speak to our lives, to speak to our soul. We've been given this power if we have the will. If we have the will. Go to Psalm 42, if you would. We're going to be in the Psalms here for a bit today. And I have taught us before about the significance of repetition in Scripture, because it's making a certain point. So I'm going to extract a few little passages, then we'll go back to the holistic chapter for context. But in Psalm 42, the psalmist asks a question. In verse 5, the psalmist asks the question, and he's not asking it to you or to me or to anyone who's hearing him. He's speaking to his soul, actually. And he asks the question, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Basically here, the psalmist was doing the same thing that lady was doing on the operating table. The psalmist was speaking to his heart, to his soul, with the question, why so downcast? In other words, in the context of a mighty God who hurled the galaxies into existence, it's not even logical that I would be. You know, there are times when people feel a little bit discouraged based on circumstances. What's tough at times is when we minister to people and they feel like they've got this low-grade discouragement or depression without logic, and there's nothing really necessarily going off or going wrong or going sideways. But again, it wasn't logical to the psalmist, so he asked the question, why so downcast? Why so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. See, we cannot praise without hope. Hope is key. Hope is critical. Hope is key. Can you say hope out loud? Hope. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So a lot is said about faith, which is good and well, but you have to have the underpinnings of hope first. Hope is the blueprint to faith. You have to hope for something before it takes grip and converts to faith. So, but there is a substance to it, you see. And so again, in the same chapter, this question is repeated again in verse 11, where the psalmist asks again, why are you downcast, O my soul? Again, who is he speaking to? What is he speaking to? His soul. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. There's an antidote. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God. It's as if he's having this sit down. You ever have to have a sit down with someone? Have you ever had to have a come to Jesus meeting? He's having a come to Jesus meeting with his soul. Soul, why are you this way? Soul, put your hope in God. Soul, heart, beat again. Soul, hope in God. I don't feel it. Don't have to feel it. Put your hope there. God told Joshua, be strong, Joshua. Don't feel strong. He didn't say, feel strong, Joshua. No, be strong. Don't feel, it doesn't matter. Be strong. Be strong. All right, I'm strong. Hope in God. I don't have much footing. As a choice, you can lament or we can, I put as an act of my will, I divert my energy, I put my hope in God. What's there to lose? Because it's on him now. No one who looks to him in a right way is dismayed or disappointed, you see. Put your hope in God. Psalm 43, we go over to the very next chapter here in verse 3. Chapter 43, verse 3. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God my God. Verse 5, here it is again. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So obviously, if downcast, if disturbed, what to do? What to do? What to do, America? Put your hope in God. How do I know if I've done it? It's an act of your will. Regardless of what I see, what I hear, I'm shifting confidence. I'm putting my hope. It may be bad. The report may be bad. The diagnosis may be bad. The state of the union may be bad. The condition of my own life may feel bad. But nonetheless, I put my hope in God. Verse 4 says, go to the altar of God, to God your joy and delight. So it's a choice, really. Can we say that together? It's a choice. It's a choice. Let's say this out loud. I will put my hope in God. Again, I will put my hope in God. We're going to put it somewhere. We're going to take confidence in something. We're going to believe some report. We're going to attach ourselves and our well-being to something. We're going to plug into something. We're going to plug into some narrative. That's why, you know, Jane ministering these principles, some of them came from RTF. One of the premises in RTF, one of the four quadrants, is a wrong belief system. If you're believing wrongly, we will act that out. As a man thinks and believes in his heart, he will act that out, you see. So we're going to plug into some kind of narrative. We're going to plug into some kind of a report. And so that's why when we've been listening to what's going on in the world, what's going on in the earth, that's good. But we must get back and give God an opportunity to weigh in so that we don't actually believe it in a wrong way, to where we build a theology around it. Are we here? We can shift and kind of disconnect from that, get up a little higher, get a little transcendent above the yuck clouds and say, I know that's real, but I'm going to put my hope in God. What if it doesn't work out? That's none of my business. He said, put my hope there. I'm going to put my hope there. Yeah, but what? Don't give me the what if. Look, if I bust my head going forward, that's fine, but I'll do it God's way and on His terms, not on the terms of what the world is saying or someone else is saying. My role is to put my hope in God. It's His role to work everything out so that I will not be dismayed nor disappointed. I don't know how He does it. He's God. I don't worry myself. That's what He does. He's just told me, put my confidence there. Why so downcast, soul? Put your hope in God. Having a conversation with your own heart. I love it. We laugh, but it works. We have to tell ourselves how we feel. We need to tell ourselves how we're doing. Someone says, how are you doing? Absolutely, amazingly well. Why do you ask? Doing wonderful. And it's not doing the Southern thing and saying fine like you're just glossing over. You just want to make sure that you're agreeing with what God says regardless of what you're feeling at the moment, you see. So, do this. Tell your hope to beat again. Tell your hope to beat again, if that applies. Let's go back and read the context of Psalm 42. Just back up to the total context here. Verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul... There's a lot of rendering the word soul here. So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. You ever felt that way? While men say to me all day long, where is your God? Ever been mocked? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed to the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? And again begins to hold a conversation with the soul. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I love verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Romans 5:5 declares that hope does not disappoint. Now, I don't know if that's flowery rhetoric or that's real. What do you reckon? Hope does not disappoint. Now, it's not hope in a vacuum. We're talking about walking in covenant with God, walking in relationship with the Lord, working the Word. How many of y'all know the Word has to be worked? It's like practice. It's like a sport. It's a discipline where you learn how to properly divide the word of truth, and it's like kneading bread. You begin to work it into your situation. You work it in. And in that setting, hope has context, you see. Hope does not disappoint, Romans 5:5 says. Why? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit works with our hearts to believe the promises of God, to believe he loves us. That's an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit works with us. Can you say works with us? Isn't that kind of him? The Holy Spirit works with us and strives with us to believe the promises of God. Just this morning, I woke up with a scripture on my heart that was meaningful and life-giving. I don't know whether I thought of it. I think God gave the inspiration, but there was a scripture that I just was chewing on in my waking hours. The Holy Spirit works with our heart to believe the promises of God. All the while, God is pouring out his love, pouring out his love. And you see, somehow, we all know we shouldn't be downcast. Don't we know that? We know that, don't we? Somehow, we know we shouldn't be hopeless, even in hopeless circumstances. Down in our heart, where God lives, where hope lives, where love is poured, we somehow know not to give in to the pressures and the lies of life. How the Holy Spirit is working with us. There's a knowledge there. Did y'all ever see Hitch at the end where Will Smith was trying to win back over Eva Menendez, and he was at the door, and he said, look, I just feel it just down in here. He was trying to articulate the deep feeling that he had, and it's the same way, just somewhere down in here, we just know that we're not to be downcast. We just know, see, because the Holy Spirit has been giving, he works with our soul to believe the promises of God while he's likewise pouring out his love. Now, we can feel the pressure of it pushing on us to take it, but there's another power at work on the inside of us. Don't take that. It feels like that. The pressure is on. Everything in the natural may be trying to point to that, but yet there's a power on the inside that repels and pushes back on that. And it's like, well, no, God wouldn't say that. Well, no, God wouldn't have me believe that. No, God would not just have me concede and throw in the towel and just completely just give in to that report or that mindset or that theology or that report or whatever it is that's so subjective and so fleeting. Where does that come? It's the aid of the Holy Spirit working with our heart somewhere down in here. He's working with our heart to believe the promise. And I'm grateful for that. That's why we honor the Holy Spirit and pay proper homage with dignity and esteem. He's constantly working with us and striving with our hearts to believe right things, to believe right things. And he's pouring love and jump-starting hope, you see. Somehow we know. How come? God put it there, that knowledge, that love, that hope. Therefore, tell your soul, command your soul to do this. We say, soul, hope in God, remind your heart. And in the scripture, we see precedent where David and others in the Psalms talked to their soul, just like that doctor told that woman to talk to her heart. You ever talk to your car? You ever looked at the gas and it was on empty? Why in the world do we drive with on empty? I don't know. Have you ever talked to it? Dear God in heaven, car, take me to the house in Jesus' name. It was so funny. When I was a Duke minister years ago, I would give an analogy that knowledge itself doesn't necessarily compute to action and right action. And I said, I've got this whole auditorium full of Duke students. I said, for instance, how many of y'all have been driving your car and you knew that it was on empty, but you drove it anyway? I kid you not, not one hand went up. Why? They're Duke students. They know better. If it's on E, you got to go get some gas, right? But I thought, I can't even use the analogy, but how many of y'all like me, you've pushed it, and you thought, and there are times all of a sudden you're in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's like Michael J. Fox said in that movie, you know, he was in Hee Haw Hell, you know, he's in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden you start hearing this rattling and it's like, no, 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 no. And so we may think it's funny. What's there to lose? We speak to our soul. We speak to our stuff. We speak to our business. Speak to our relationships. Speak to our future. Speak to our present. Speak over our past. You know, he'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. Hello. But you speak to it and we declare it. And we tell it what to do. Are we here? We have that kind of power. We have that kind of ability. Well, that's silly. Well, we can be silly not doing it and just let life rain on us versus reigning in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. But our mouth is in the equation. And that's why here the psalmist had to tell its soul, put your, look right here. Look, soul, right? Put your, put your hope in God. And we just need a good little popping. Hey, 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 did you hear that which came out of your mouth? Put your hope in God. For our sake, for the testimony and honor it brings the Lord. You see, remind it. Talk to it. Talk to your stuff. Hello? I don't feel like I'm in a good place in this part of my life. How many of you know that our lives are made up of lots of parts? We're very holistic. Something can be going amazing here, not amazing here. Speak to it. Tell it to line up. Declare the word of the Lord. There may be a waiting period through faith and patience. We inherit the promises. I mean, thank God that things don't happen immediately, because where we're unsanctified, if we were to call somebody a nuthead, they would just turn into a nut, you know. So thank God there's a little bit of a period of, you know, where things don't just automatically, but you begin to sow. A farmer never goes out in the field and wonders, where's the corn crop? Well, Farmer Joe, did you plant any corn? No, but I'm looking for the crop. And I'm also praying for it. That's what people, I'm praying for it. Did you sow anything? No, but I'm praying for the crop. You got to sow that good seed, sow that word. And in the timing of the Lord, with the rain and the right conditions, a crop will come forth. God's not mocked. Amen. I love this. In chapter 116, Psalm 116, verse 7. Again, speaking to the soul. Here the psalmist said, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I like that. How many of y'all could take a little rest? A little divine rest. Amen. Be at rest, soul. Remember, the Lord has been good to you, soul. When we feel that frantic thing, when we feel that panic thing, when we feel that worry thing, when we feel that anxiety thing, when the enemy comes in with the Rolodex, what if, what if? Will you take this? No. All right, will you take this? No. And there comes a time, no. Be at rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Great reminder, is it not? It's not just it's also a context of, has God done you wrong yet? No, he's been good. Be at rest. Shift your focus to God. Shift your focus off your stuff. Put it on God. Put it on God. Put it on God. Put it on God. You see, this past week when we were down at the coast, I don't know if y'all saw the weather report, but we were in one shake, rattle, and roll, electrical thunderstorm with tornado warnings. and we had funnel clouds, golf ball size hail in some places. Two houses were struck. I mean, it was intense. So my family was over shopping in Beaufort. I was with my 82-year-old mother in Atlantic Beach in this condo, and we were getting ready to go out, and we just saw these unusual clouds, and all of a sudden, all this lightning was hitting left and right, and I thought it was moving away from the coast, but actually, it was coming in from the mainland, and all these sails were going on, and I hadn't been listening to an account, and I said, we may need to hold on here just a little bit. It was looking ominous. These were dark clouds looking wicked-like, and then my phone goes off. It's Wayne Graham. He sends a text. Where's your family? There's tornado warnings. Where, you know, so I'm trying to contact them, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, it just hits. I get the TV on before it cuts off, before that's undone, where they say the 60-mile-an-hour winds, golf ball size hail, we've got a funnel cloud, you know, and I look on and all these sails are just right there where we are. We're watching it come. There's nothing like watching rain blow sideways, you know. So the rain is blowing horizontally. We dealt with that in Guam because we had about one typhoon per year. And, I mean, the roof is leaking, just pouring with the rain. It's just looking for any little, you know, any little crack. So water's pouring down, and all of a sudden, all this thundering and lightning that's hitting, all of a sudden, it gets closer. It's clapping right above us. A transformer blows about 100 yards away. I've got this 82-year-old mother of mine. I said, come on, I'm going to put her in the walk-in closet. I got a chair and got her situated, you know, in the walk-in closet. And we didn't even have time to go to the downstairs, the lowest point where we should have been. But, you know, it's in those moments you tell your soul what to do. It's like if God wants to take us on to the house, that's his business, but I'm going to be at peace. With a lot of praying in tongues, I mean, you know, hello. But in grace and in a spirit of peace. It's like I can either concede or I can be somewhat mature and strong about it and look to God and trust God. But if I freak out, that's not going to do anyone any good. Certainly not going to do her. My job is to stabilize her. You've heard us say before that when you're on a plane and, you know, it's common to hit turbulence. But it's soothing when that captain comes on, or we're experiencing a little temporary turbulence. Oh, this is your captain. We should be out of it here in a few minutes. So relax and help yourself, and we should be through it in a few minutes. You know, and so you're like, all right, that's the captain. That's good. I mean, you're hitting, and you know, and you're banging. But he said we're going to be okay. And so somehow you're thinking, all right, well, I guess we're going to be okay. But if all of a sudden the cockpit door flies open and the captain comes screaming, we're breaking up. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, if you're worried, and then dear God, what are and then the rest of us? But see, we take our cues from God. God's just fine. Steady she blows. But all the circumstances are going, and we make a decision. Be at peace, O my soul. Be steady. You can feel it. You can feel fear. You can feel anxiety. You can feel concern. What else are we going to do? But see, we revert to form in those times. What are we in the habit of doing? If we're in the habit of looking to the Lord, we'll do that in times of testing. It'll be natural. It'll be the natural fallback. It's like, this is what I do every day. Look to God. Talk to God. Push back on mess. Hello? Every day, how many of y'all have to push back on mess when it hits your brain? No, no, no. Paul said, having taken captive every thought, making it obedient to Christ. No, we're not just gullible. There are times we have to change the channel. Something hits your brain, it's like God wouldn't say that. Change the channel. Yeah, but what if, don't even go there. Yeah, but what, don't, and don't get the what ifs. Don't allow yourself the privilege to even go there. Discipline that mind. Discipline that thinking. I will not give myself the privilege of even thinking that. God said it never even entered my mind what they're doing. In other words, I won't even go down that road. He said, put your hope in God. It's like, that's my job. If it falls apart, it's on you. I'm locked in, you see. You say, well, that's kind of simplistic and narrow. Yeah, narrow is the way. You can be a simpleton, but kept safe, you see. Be at rest once more, O my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. You know, when you read about David, and what makes the Psalms so comforting is David, he flat went through some stuff, didn't he? I mean, he was harassed quite often. But he would respond kind of like in Psalm 109, but I'm a man in prayer. I've got even my own coming against me, and this man's doing this, and but I'm a man in prayer. In other words, that just levels everything, doesn't it? It just doesn't matter, but I am a man in prayer. We should also read Scripture to our soul. Soul, hear this promise. Soul, I will tell you what to think. Soul. I love that British T-shirt. Keep calm and carry on. Y'all ever seen that British axiom that's so popular? Keep calm, carry on. Michael Sanders, where are you? Someone said you had a T-shirt this morning that said, keep calm and give blood. Where are you? Is that true? Did you hear that? Keep calm and bleed red. All right. So, love that. Psalm 62, go there as we prepare to bring it to a head. We doing okay today? We don't ask ourselves how we're doing. We tell ourselves how we're doing. Psalm 62, 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Not that there's not opportunity, it's just a decision. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Love this. Divine alignment. Divine alignment. In the next chapter, in chapter 63, David declares, my soul thirsts for you. He says, my soul will be satisfied. He said, my soul clings to you. So again, we tell our heart, our hope, to beat again. We talk to our soul. The prophet Isaiah even declared, let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. See, it's a choice. It's counterintuitive and counter the flow of what you're feeling. I tell you what, I don't see how people go through life without God. I mean, for the believer, it's challenging enough. I don't know how people do, and you know what? They don't. That's just the point. I mean, they're living, breathing, spiritually dead, all kind of junk stuff. But there's a choice here of relying and trusting. I mean, if not, what's the option? If you keep reading down, where we'll turn here in a minute to Isaiah 50, the only other choice is to concede to torment. Let's just read the whole thing, Isaiah 50. We'll be done with this. We totally believe in the sovereignty of God, His power, His grace, but we also totally believe in the human side of saying yes to that grace and that ability. Isaiah 50, verse 10, Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, ever felt that? Who has no light. People say, I can't see. I can't find my way. I don't have any footing. I don't know what my next steps are. I don't know what my next season is. God does. People are that way all the time. All you have is the now. Elizabeth Elliot and her husband Jim Elliot, the great missionary, was famous for saying, wherever you are, be all there. If you're trying to live in the future, you don't have the ability to live totally in the now. All we have is the right now. So if we don't know, it's okay, because our faith is in God to lead us in the way that we should go. So here it says, to him who walks in the dark, who has no light, no illumination, that's not fun, especially if you're a planner, especially if you're a 10-year planner, that's not fun. What to do? It says, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But what's the option? What's the alternative? Verse 11, but now all you who light fires and provide yourselves with human wisdom, flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You'll lie down in torment. We don't choose that. We choose trust. We choose hope. We tell our soul hope in God. We act, dress our spirit, and behave as if God is in control, because you know what? He is in control. So I want us to practice this week putting our hope in God, to practice it. If stress comes knocking, if fear comes knocking, anxiety, depression, bad news, I want us to practice putting our hope in God as a choice, as a new skill. And as proof, begin to praise him and watch his love fill you up. We can get very practical with this in the daily grind of life. Practice hoping in God. Practice it. You could leave here, and 5 minutes from now, something comes on your phone. You're like, ah! You hadn't even hardly left the premise, and something comes up. A report comes in. You read something. You hear something. Something develops. Ah! Practice. Nope. Put your hope in God as an act of our will. And oh, that it would be second nature. So then, like Jesus, the prince of this world comes, but he's got nothing in me. I'm steady as she blows. Steady as she blows. Doesn't mean I'm not feeling it. I choose, and I tell my soul, hope in God. Can we stand on our feet? Amen. The doctor told that lady on the operating table, whispered in her ear, Mary, I need you to tell your heart to beat again. So if there's something that's not as pulsating as it needs to be, just in your heart right now, just tell that area, beat again. Beat again. I need you to tell your heart to beat again. In a particular area where maybe it's not happening, or there's a lie that's trying to encroach, or there's oppression in that area, tell your hope to beat again. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so distressed within me? Put your hope in God. Just lift your hands to heaven. Lord, we just choose to be people of hope, to be hopeful. Lord, this is a supernatural virtue. This is not human. Father, this is not something in our own humanity we muster, because you've poured out your love in our hearts and you're striving with us. Lord, you've given us your Holy Spirit to remind us and to work with our hearts to believe the promise of God. So we come out of any barren thinking in regards to something that's a lie. And so, Lord, we say yes to what you say by faith, especially when we don't feel it or sense it. All the more we place our hope in you today, God. Every reason to be hopeful. Hope does not disappoint. So we realign today afresh, afresh. We doubt our doubts and we're quick to believe by the aid of the Spirit of God because of your amazing love. In Jesus' name we agree.